the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. And that may be found on page 198 in your New Testament portion of the Bible. Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes from through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in death. If someone I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my mind and my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. He is the great I am. Last week, in our study of the Gospel of John, we were dealing with the seven I am statements that Jesus makes. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we use our society, as Terry and I were driving back last night, so many of the songs, the contemporary music songs, the word I and the word me is used very frequently. We are a very I, me-centric. Well, the whole idea of the great I am, God, I am, is not how important, self-important he is. When Moses asked him, when God sent him, told him to go into Egypt and go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go free because he'd heard the cry of his people. And Moses said, well, who should I tell him is sending me? And God tells him, tell them, I am has sent you. You know, in a time when we look at existentialism, you know, existence, what is it, who am I, who are we? In sharp contrast to what we think, what humanity thinks about who we are and what we are, is the creator of the universe saying, not only I was there then, I'm here now, I'll be there and here then. Rather than going through that long discourse, God just says, I am. When Paul is talking here in Philippians, he speaks of how people sometimes associate themselves with positions, and who they are is, as an individual, is either caught up in their job title, their profession, their gifts and talents, and that's who they are. Paul is saying in Philippians 3, see, even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh. How many of us can be confident? Any of us here blameless? No, don't show. No, not a show of hands. Because I'm not sticking mine up there. Any of us here blameless? No. Is there anyone in here who thinks there's anyone in here who is blameless? Okay, this guy right here is probably the only one that's even got a shot at it, okay? But, yeah, okay. Yeah, even that young. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. And then Paul goes through and lists this listing of how wonderful he is if you put him on the human scale. In the Jewish tradition of the day, scale. Circumcised on the eighth day. It's what's required in the law. A member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. Now, when you're a Pharisee, it's like, you know the law, the letter of the law, every subtlety, every nuance, front to back to front, and you try as best as humanly possible, and to some point they think they're able to accomplish it, to follow the law. Never violate it. They go so far as not to help somebody who's in need of help on the Sabbath, because to help that person would be violating the Sabbath. That's how stringent they were at obeying the law. So, as to zeal, Paul was persecuting the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. In other words, he's laying out his pedigree and said, I'll stack me up against anybody out there, and you know who I am? I am great. I am a Hebrew's Hebrew. Look at me. On the one side, he says that because when he was persecuting the Christians, they weren't called Christians at the time, they were called followers of the way. He was doing it with such zeal, he was taking people in chains to prison because they were heathens. They were heretics because they were saying that this Jesus was the Messiah. That he'd been crucified by the Jews, by the Romans, and was dead and buried. But on the third day, he arose. And people saw him and people touched him. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you contrast that against who the Pharisees said they were and who they knew God was, but they weren't about to stand for who Jesus said he was, and who the followers of Jesus said he was and gave witness to. Until on the road to Damascus, where he was going to take some other Christians back to Jerusalem in chains and have them persecuted. Well, he had a meeting. It hadn't been planned. Nobody sent him a Facebook. Nobody sent him a post. Nobody sent him a text saying, I am is going to meet you on the road. I am is going to knock you off your horse. I am is going to stop you in your tracks. I am is going to take the sight that you think you have and remove it and put you in a position where you have to go to one of those followers of Jesus to be healed. Saul, why are you persecuting me? The voice did not say, why are you persecuting my followers? The voice did not say, why are you persecuting these people? The voice said, why are you persecuting me? Paul had his come to Jesus moment on the road to Damascus, and his life was unalterably changed. He was set on a new path from which he would follow with the same zeal that he had been persecuting those same followers of the way, and maybe times two, double up on it. Paul, after that walked, after that that incident on the road to Damascus, and as a leader of the Christian church, and as he's writing to these churches to tell them what it is that it means to be a follower of the way, to know and trust God, then after he'd said all of these things about being a Pharisee's Pharisee, he said, "Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as lost because of Christ." Everything that he had held as an account about who he was, you know, they publish a book, The Who's Who. Well, in those biblical times, Saul of Tarsus would have been right up there in the who's who, if you were counting earthly measures. Now, Paul says, that counts for nothing. All of that that I thought counted for something counts for nothing. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because the I am, the me, in contrast or in comparison to the I am, the great I am, is insignificant. Infinitesimally small. That's who we are. And yet, as small and insignificant as we might be in the earthly scheme and in the cosmic scheme of things, Christ saw us, God saw us, the Holy Spirit saw us with this value. You've heard me say this time and time again. What is a thing's value? It's what someone else is willing to pay for it. What someone else sees it as its value, well, as insignificant, as small and inconsequential as you and I are, those are those little I's, those little me's, that's we, in comparison to who God is, it just doesn't measure up in the earthly scheme. But you know what? Christ went to the cross, hung, bled, died for insignificant, inconsequential, infinitesimally small and puny, and sometimes petty, you and me. So what do you think your value is? You are one of the richest, most prime pieces of real estate because you have been bought and purchased at a price beyond compare. Paul was saying, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things. I regard them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." Because when I compare all of what I thought I had to what Christ has given me, that's all rubbish. That's belongs in a garbage heap. He says throughout this passage, I, because that's the earthly. That's the way we look at life. It's me. It's I. It's what we do. It's what I've done. It's what I'm going to do. Look at me. Check my Facebook postings out. No, seriously, check my Facebook postings out. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. But one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death. If somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this. This is, again, Paul is writing to the Philippians to his writings oftentimes are to the churches, in this case the church at Philippi, because they've been kind of getting focused on the me. And he's saying, look at what I've done because what Christ has done. Look at what Christ has done for you. Now get your priorities reorganized. Get your value system recalibrated. Get your life on the right track, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the good shepherd. Those are the I ams. It's not me. And it's not Paul. And he's saying, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal. One of the beauties about Methodists, and as John Wesley iterated it, we're not perfect. You guys heard that, right? There is nobody in here who's perfect. Because Louise isn't here and Sue aren't here. No, even as good as they are, none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect, but we know one who is. We're to follow his pattern. We're to love one another as he loved us. When you wonder who's your neighbor, Jesus says, the good Samaritan story. Well, who's our neighbor? Well, who is your neighbor? It's that person who's wounded on the road. It's that person who's stuck in a ditch. It's that person that's walking home because he doesn't have a ride. It's that person who's crying because they've been hurt. It's that person who's hungry, naked, sick, and in prison. And when we do unto the least of these, then we do unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when the I am takes over for the I am. That's when we change that little I to the capital I am. There's no other way for us to articulate it. Well, who is God? Okay. Who can paint a better sunset? I mean, you can get the most expensive camera. You can go out there and take hundreds of photographs. You pick anywhere in the world. You go to Hawaii. You go to, there's a Caribbean island, Barbados. And when you look to the west as the sun sets into the Caribbean. If you've ever seen an emerald star, as the sun sets into the water, just at the last instance, you know, because the earth is not flat, it's round, and if it's all it is water, as the sun gets down, pretty soon those last few rays of sunlight are doing what? They're coming through the water. It's called an emerald flash. I saw one in all the years at time at sea. I saw one, and it was in the Caribbean. It is indescribably gorgeous and awesome. But you know what? Doesn't hold a candle to the beauty and the grace and the awesomeness of God. Because for all those, that one that I saw and as awesome as it was, God's been doing that routinely since he created everything. And we think, well, because I hadn't seen it, it didn't happen. No, God is so awesome. He is doing those things and it is commonplace and ordinary for him. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached this goal. Here's the piece. We are focused on God and who God is and how we want to model our lives like him and follow in the way, the truth, and the life. We're not there yet, but we're focused on it and headed in that right direction. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Not only is it who I am, it's whose I am. It's not only who me is. It's who looks at me and says, you are mine. And I am in you. And I am in the world. And I will always be with you. But, beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. When we were singing that anthem, you know, and this is one of those wonderful things, because as we had it planned, what, we were going to do that as an introit, and we had another anthem. And I probably wouldn't have gotten through the introit, what we sang as our anthem. I know I wouldn't have. You'd have seen me mouthing some of the words up there, but the rest of the choir would have been singing it. But as it turned out, as God turns it out, we sang that as the anthem. And when you think of the message, that last part that Paul is telling to this church in Philippi is, I've not reached it yet. I'm not there yet. As much as great and wonderful as I might be in the earthly sphere of things, in this great Pharisee, I'm not there yet. I'm striving for it. Fly to Jesus. When I slip these bonds of earth, I fly to Jesus. I fly to Jesus and what? I fly to Jesus and what? I live. I fly to Jesus and I live. God is calling us to proceed on this path, to have Christ in our lives, to have the Holy Spirit empower us, so when we reach that goal, when we're on the threshold of coming into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we do it with confidence, not arrogance, with confidence that Christ has already ensured our entrance, paid in full. I've done that before. Paid in full. Three nails in Christ's body as they nailed him to the cross. Paid in full. So when we look for goals in life, the great I am the way, the truth, and the life. As many times as Paul said, I, in that passage, he was pointing us to the great I am. He is I am. He is the I am. And there ain't nobody, nothing that compares. Shalom. Amen.